Shavua Tov. Today's daf is Kuf Hey. We're going to start on Kuf Dalet Amud Beis with the Mishnah, which is about 12 lines down from the top of the Amud. And by way of introduction, we've been differentiating in the past Mishnayos here at the end of Erevin between Shvus B'Migdash and Shvus B'Medina, and we've been applying the principle that Ein Shvus B'Migdash. Our Mishnah is going to deal with the case of a Sheretz that's found inside the Migdash, and normally a Sheretz would be Mukta, it's a dead animal, and we're going to be Matir moving this Sheretz, this Mukta, for the sake of the covered, the honor that we have for the Beis HaMikdash. Now, not all Shrutzim are Metame. The Torah lists in Vayikra 8 Shrutzim species, all of which are what's called an Av HaTuma, which means that they engender Tuma if they come in contact with Adam V'Kelim, or Ochlen U'Mashke. Now, if something contracts Tuma by way of a Sheretz, it becomes a Rishon L'Tuma, otherwise known as a Vlad HaTuma. And a Rishon L'Tuma is not Metame Adam V'Kelim, it's only Metame Ochlen U'Mashkin. Now, there are Avos HaTuma. Avos HaTuma, like for example, if an animal dies without Shechita, that's called a Nevela. And an Av HaTuma, in the case of Nevela, is Metameyas HaAdam, not only Betumas Mago, but even Betumas Masa. So that if a human being would carry the flesh of a carcass of an animal that died without Shechita, then that human being now becomes Tameh. Not so in the case of Sheretz. Sheretz, it's only through Maga, not through Masa. So lifting up a Sheretz, for example, you find the Sheretz in the Beis HaMikdash and you lift it up to remove it from the Mikdash, that would not in and of itself Metame you unless you came in direct contact, but if you carried it with a Hefsek, with a Chatzitza. Like, for example, we're going to have one Man D'Yomer now in our Mishnah, that when you find the Sheretz in the Migdash, then what you should do is, you should grab one of your garments, in this case, the Avnet, which is the belt, and you wrap it around the Sheretz. So now the Avnet is a Hefsek between your hands and the Sheretz. And Sheretz is not Metame B'Masa, it's only Metame B'Maga. Now, in the case of a Sheretz inside the Migdash, the Kohanim have an obligation to get the Sheretz out of the Migdash. And the Torah prohibits bringing Tumah into the Migdash. The Gemara is going to analyze what you should do in that scenario. Because, as we'll soon see, there are two options, and there's going to be a major debate as to which of the two options is preferable. So the Mishnah says the following. So we're looking on Daf Kuf Dalet Amud Beis, at the Mishnah, which is about 12 lines down, 15 lines down from the top, Sheretz Shenimtza B'Migdash. We find the Sheretz, a dead Sheretz inside the Migdash, and it's Shabbos. Kohen Motzio Behemyono. Hemyono is an Aramaic word for Avneto. And the Kohen wore an Avneto, is one of the four big day kahuna that a regular Kohen would wear. And he wraps, as we said before, his avnet around the Sheretz, and therefore carries the Sheretz out. Sheretz is not metami the Kohen, because the Kohen cannot become Tomei. If the Kohen is Tomei in the Beis HaMikdash, that's a Nisukaris. But what he can do is, by setting up this Hefsek, this Chatzitza, and therefore there's no Tumas Maga, Sheretz is not metami Bitumas Masa. Now, what's going to happen is, according to this opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, as we'll see, is that the belt itself, the avnet, is going to contract tuma, because, as we said before, an avatum is metame adam v'kelim. So a beged becomes tame when it comes in direct contact with a sheretz, which is an avatum. And there's another option here that could have been explored, which Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka is rejecting, and that is, instead of taking off his avnet in order to remove the sheretz, he could have ran around looking for wooden tongs and a kli eitz. If it doesn't have a kli kibul to it, it doesn't have a receptacle, then it's not metame. So that he could have avoided being metame the avnet by using these wooden tongs to pull out the sherets. But the only thing is, you'd have to run around looking for these wooden tongs. And in the meantime, you're leaving the sherets, that's called Shehiyas Tumah, and delaying getting rid of the sherets outside of the Beis HaMikdash. We don't want to do that. So therefore, Shalolishos Es HaTumah, in order to make sure that we urgently get the Tumah, the sherets, out of the Beis HaMikdash, we're not going to run around looking for what ideally could have been a better option, namely to use a Kli Eitz, but rather we're going to advocate using the Avnet, and he just takes it off his body, and then immediately he has a built-in way of getting rid of the sherets. Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. But Rabbi Yehuda disagrees. Omer bitzvas. He should look for these tongs, shel eitz, that are made of wood, and then we have the category which is called pshutei kli eitz. Pshutei kli eitz is not makabel tumah. And this way, he doesn't have to be mitame the avnet. Even though it'll take a little bit longer time, and the sherets is going to remain in the Beis HaMikdash, we're going to delay the removal of the sherets in order to avoid ribui tuma, in order to avoid being mitame the avnet. And the Gemara is going to analyze this machlokas. At this point in the Mishnah, the area of the Beis HaMikdash is going to be divided up into segments, and there's going to be a debate here in the next part of the Mishnah about how, which parts of the Mikdash cannot tolerate the sherets. You know, we have to get rid of the sherets. From where in the Mikdash? Again, the Mikdash is a wide area. So, Roman numeral number one, in terms of the holy of the Mikdash, is what we call the Heichal. The Heichal itself is divided up into three subcategories. There's the inner part, which is called the Kodesh Kodashim, that's the holiest of all. And then outside the Kodesh Kodashim, you have what's called the general Heichal, and that's where you'll find the menorah, and the Mizbeach HaZav, and the Shulchan. That's the Heichal. Now, in the entrance way into the Heichal, we have an area called the Ulam, and it's kind of like a gate, a Beit Shar, in front of the Heichal, in front of the Kodesh. And all these three areas that we mentioned are usually lumped together and called Heichal. Now, after you leave the Ulam, getting further and further away from the Heichal, you enter first and foremost into an area which is called Bein Ulam LeMizbeach. And now we're in the lower level of Kedusha. In other words, we're outside the Heichal. The Ulam, that is the Beis Shar leading into the Heichal, that's the closure. You know, that's the highest point of Kedusha. That's the Heichal. After you get out of there, you're between the Ulam and the Mizbeach and the Azara. And then you have what's called the Ezras Kohanim, followed by the Ezras Yisrael. So those are the three areas of the Azara. And here we have a machlokes. When you have a sheretz, which area of the Beis HaMikdash cannot tolerate the sheretz? Meheichan motzino so? From which area of the Beis HaMikdash is it absolutely urgent to get rid of the sheretz? And now we have the opinion of Rabbi Shimon ben Nanas. His opinion is motzino so min haheichal umin ulam. And if you remember, we said that the ulam, which is like the Beis Shar, that's the outer area of the Heichal, but it's still included on the Kedushas Heichal. And Bein Ulam LeMizbeach, now Reb Shimon ben Nanas adds another area, which is already outside the Heichal. Technically, it belongs to the Azara, and that's the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. And although this area does not have the sanctity of the Heichal, but nevertheless, it has what's called the sanctity of Shechina. The Shechina is there, and therefore we cannot tolerate having a sheretz, a dead sheretz, in that area, which is Bein Ulam LeMizbeach, which is sanctified with the Shechina. Now, once we leave, we get further and further away. Now we're into the Ezras Kohanim or the Ezras Yisrael. Those parts of the Azara could tolerate the sheretz. It doesn't have the sanctity of Shechina, and therefore it's not critical that we immediately get rid of it. Of course, we're going to want to get rid of it as soon as we can, but it's not pressing so that we would override Isurim like Mukta, for example, as we mentioned before, the Sheretz is Mukta. But Rabbi Akiva Omer, Kol Mokom, Shechayonim al Zdono Karis al Shigos Achatas Misham Motzinoso. Forget about Mukta. We got to get rid of the Sheretz immediately, even on Shabbos, from the Azorah, whether it's the Ezra's Kohen and the Ezra's Yisrael, because if a Kohen who's Tomei enters into the Azorah, if he does it b'mezid, he's chayav kares. If he does it b'shogeg, he's chayav korban chat. So we see that even the Azara, says Rabbi Akiva, is sanctified in a way that it cannot tolerate the existence of a sheretz inside the Azara. Get it out and forget about mukta. Now, u'b'shar kol ha'makomos, there are other areas which can be lumped together in the general rubric of Beis HaMikdash, which even Rabbi Akiva would agree we don't have to violate the Isur Mukta for the sake of getting rid of it. For example, we could talk about Har HaBayis. We could talk about, again, the Azor HaKohen of Shem Ben Anas. Kofin Olav, Psachter. Psachter is a kli. It's actually made of copper. But anyway, we have to cover over the Sheretz for the sake of the kavod of this area, the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a heter to remove it. By the way, you can see from this Mishnah how severe the Isur Mukta is. You know, sometimes we have a laid-back attitude about Mukta, but you see that this whole issue about, you know, whether or not we're allowed to take the Sheretz out and violate Mukta, or leave the Sheretz there, just cover it over with a kli, all this revolves around the Isur Mukta. Now we get to the last part of the Mishnah, part three of the Mishnah. And this is a part of the Mishnah that really goes back, way back to Daf Nun Beis Amid Beis, where we have Machlokes about Tchumen, and we're going to see the Gemara here to explain this. Rav Shimon Omer, Mokom Sheitiru Lecha Chachamim Mishalcha Nasnu Lecha Shalo Yitiru Lecha El Mishum Shvus. A very vague comment in which Rabbi Shimon, on the one hand, is Mekil, and he says they were Matirit, and it's Mishalcha, no, it's something that Mikra Din belongs to you, you're allowed to do it, and they gave it to you, but they're not going to be Mekil in another situation where there's an Isur Shvus. So we'll analyze this, Rabbi Shimon, at the end of our learning today. The Gemara talks about a person who's Tomei, he's not allowed to go into the Beis HaMikdash as long as he's Tomei. He's not allowed to bring Kelim Tmeim into the Beis HaMikdash. And this is all derived from a parasha at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. I'll read to you the pasuk. It says, V'yishalchu min ha-machne kol Tomei l'nefesh. And this is an Isur Lav. The Torah says not only to get rid of the Tumah from the Machne Shechina, but also lo yitamu es machneim. It's an Isur Lav. Asher nishochem besochon. This lav applies, number one, if a person, a human being, is Tomei and he goes into the Kodesh, or number two, if he takes Kelim Tmeim into the Mikdash, that's also included in this Isur. There's also an implicit Isur which is called Shehiya B'Mikdash, where you're not allowed to leave it inside the Kodesh. Omar Avtavi Bar Kisna, Omar Shmuel. So the entire sugi that we're going to learn now revolves around Shmuel. What does Shmuel say? Hamachnis tmei sheretz lemigdash chayav. If a kli was contaminated by sheretz, then he's chayav when he takes that kli into the migdash. Now, exactly what he's chayav is not clear. One school of thought has it that he's chayav malchus. There seems to be an indication in Rashi that he might even be chayav kares for taking a kli tamei into the Mikdash, and the Rambam, on the other hand, says there's no chiyuv malchus. There's only a chiyuv malchus, according to the Rambam, if he takes a sheretz into the Mikdash, but not if he takes a kli that was nitmal yedei sheretz. In any event, Shmuel continues, and he says, sheretz atzmo potur. This is the unique sheet of Shmuel. The Gemara is going to analyze Shmuel, that if you bring a sheretz into the Mikdash, it's very counterintuitive. If you bring a kli that was nitmal yidei sheretz into the Mikdash, you're chayev. But the sheretz itself, you're not chayev. My timer, Gzeiras HaKos, if we don't understand this. You can give philosophical explanations, but it's purely speculative. We really don't understand this halacha. Amar Kra, the Torah says in the parasha of what's called Shiluach HaTmeim Chutz L'machne, at the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar, it says, Mizachar V'adne Keva Tishalechu El Michutz L'machne Tishalchu. And the question here is, why does the Torah emphasize Mizachar V'adne Keva? And this is going to be a mute. Mishi Yesh Lo Tara B'mikva. Mizachar V'adne Keva means human beings whom we exclude from the Mikdash if they're Tomei because they have to go to the Mikva to be mitara themselves, but yotze sher chein lo tara b'mikva. Paradoxically, that which doesn't have tara b'mikva is not included in the parasha of Shiluach tmeya min hamachne. And why? Because it says mizochah in the keva, and what is the common denominator here? It's that which is nitan, which lends itself to tara b'mikva, as opposed to the sheretz itself. That's Shmuel's opinion. Lema sayle, can we bring a support text to Shmuel from a Braisa? The Braisa darshins the pasuk Mizachar Nekeva Tishalechu El Michutz L'machne Shechina Tishalchum. And now we're going to derive the conclusion that only an Adam Tomei or Kelim Tomei, as long as they're not made of what's called earthenware, then we have to get rid of them if they're Tomei. Pratlikli Cheres Divrei Rabbi Yossi Aglili. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that if you take a Kli Cheres that's Tomei into the Migdash, that's not a problem. You don't have to get rid of it. There's no prohibition against the Kli Cheres in the Migdash. Why not? My timer. La Mishum, shouldn't we assume it's because the Lesley Tara B'mikva. The Torah says in the Parsha of Kli Cheres that if a Kli Cheres is contaminated, then Yishover. Yishover means it has to be broken, smashed into smaller pieces. And the pasuk is in Vayikra Yud Aleph Yoso Tishboru, and therefore it doesn't have tara b'mikvah. You could take a kli cheres that was tummy and put in the mikvah, the holiest mikvah in the world. It wouldn't help one iota. It's got to be broken. So therefore, we're going to derive from this brisa that the same halacha is going to apply to a sheretz. That just like a kli cheres is excluded from the iser of tuma in the machna, meaning the mitzvah of shiluach tmeim in a machna, so to sheretz is excluded for the same reason, namely Lesle Tara B'mikvah. Just like a Kli Cheres doesn't have Tara B'mikvah, so too a Sheretz doesn't have Tara B'mikvah. This would support Rabbi Yochanan. Lo, the Gemara rejects this proof from Rabbi Yossi Aglili. We have a different understanding of what Rabbi Yossi Aglili means when he derives from Zohar Nekeva to exclude Kli Cheres. And what he means is Zohar Nekeva is Misha Nasa Av Hatuma Yotza Kli Cheres She'eno Nasa Av Hatuma. Zohar and Akeva are included in the Shiluach Mitzvah, also Shar Kelim, because they can become what's called an Avatum. We'll explain how Adam and Kelim can become an Avatum in just a minute, but a Kli Cheres can never become an Avatum. Therefore, a Kli Cheres is not included in what we call Chovah Shiluach. It doesn't have to be excluded from the Machne Shechina if it became Tomei. And therefore, in the case of a sheretz, which was Rabbi Yochanan, which was Shmuel's business, it's very possible that in the case of a sheretz, enochinami, we'd have to get rid of it because it's an avatuma. Sheretz is an avatuma. Now, we said that other mekelim can become an avatuma, but kli cheres could not become an avatuma. Let's explain. There are two ways in which a regular kli that's not earthenware can become an avatuma. One is, if there was a direct contact between a dead body and a kli, the kli itself not only becomes tomei by virtue of its contact with the corpse, but it becomes an avatuma, which means that it's metamei adam v'kelim. And the reason for that is because the mess itself, the corpse itself, is an avi avosatuma. We go down madrega with adam v'kelim, and the adam v'kelim become an avatuma. And they now in turn will impart a tumor called a Rishon L'tumah. And in addition, there's another way Adam V'Kelim could become an Avat Tumah, and that's called Tumas Medris, which means that if a Zav sits on top of a person or on top of a Kli, it becomes an Avat Tumah. However, none of those categories apply to a kli cheres. And the reason for that is because a kli cheres is excluded by virtue of the following. It says in the parasha of a zav that if a zav sits on a kli cheres, the kli cheres does not become an av hatuma. The pasuk says, "Va'nefesh anogas titma ad ha'orev v'chet'o biyom hashvi." That when do we apply this principle of a person becoming an av hatuma? That's only v'chet'o biyom hashvi, meaning that he is subject and lends himself to tara b'mikvah. So therefore, a person through maga b'mes, or in that case, even a keli, if it's not a kli cheres, that comes in contact with a dead body, since it has tara b'mikvah, therefore it becomes an avatum of a kli cheres, she'en lo tara, there's no way to be metara kli cheres b'mikvah, therefore it's not nitma through maga b'mes, and likewise it's excluded from tumas medras of a zav. So the Gemara is now suggesting that kli cheres was excluded according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili from Shiluach Ben Amachna because kli cheres is a whole different level. It's in a category of its own. It could never become an avatuma, but a sheretz is an avatuma, therefore you'd have to get rid of it. It's included in Shiluach Ben Amachna. So we have yet to find a source for Shmuel's conclusion that the sheretz itself is potur. But Lema Ketanoi, the Gemara wants to suggest that maybe the machlokus between Rav Shimon ben Nanas and Rav Yochanan ben Broka that's recorded in our Mishnah is really, they're arguing about this statement of Shmuel and the status of Sheretz. And we learned in our Mishnah, Sheretz shenimtza b'migdash, if you find the Sheretz in the Migdash, then according to one opinion, that was Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka's opinion, we're not going to wait around and look for a pshute kliyetz, which is not makabel tumah, in order to get rid of the sheretz, but rather kohen motzio behem yono. He's got to immediately get rid of the sheretz with his avnet, even though it means that the avnet is now going to contract tumah. And why is this kadesh lo lishos es hatumah? Now again, even though he's being metami the avnet, which is a clay kodesh, but nevertheless, the urgency of getting rid of this tumah, which means that a sheretz has to get out of the migdash, overrides the fact that we're going to have to be metami the avnet. That's Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, bitzvas shel eitz motzio, kidei shel l'rabos es hatumah. So it was Rabbi Yehuda who said that we're going to run around looking for a tzvas shel eitz, which is a pshute kli eitz that's not makabel tumah, rather than be metame the avnet. And the reason for that is because we don't want to add another tumah, naming the kli kodesh of an avnet, that it should become tome. So even though the sheretz is going to remain in the Beis HaMikdash, because until we find the tzvas shel eitz, it's going to take a while. So my lava hakamiflugi, the man, the Yomakon Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, shalolishos, we got to get this sheretz out of the Migdash immediately as soon as possible. Kosovar. He's of the opinion of Machne Sheretz of Migdash Chayov against Shmuel. And therefore, we can't afford the luxury of waiting around, delaying, dilly down until we find a tzvashal ace. We got to get rid of the sheretz immediately. Uman, the Yomakon Rabbi Yehuda, maybe he holds like Shmuel, shalol rabos, who says that we cannot be metami the avnet, we have to get the tzvas shel eitz, because over amachta shel tzumigdash potur. So in other words, on a deraisa level, the Torah doesn't require me to get rid of the sheretz. Again, that's that paradoxical exeris hakosa we spoke about. And there's halach of isur ribui tumah. So we cannot be metami the avnet, according to Rabbi Yehuda. But rather, we have to wait around till we find the tzvas shel eitz. The Gemara rejects this. Lo, kuli alma chayev. Everybody agrees that when you bring a sheretz into the migdash, it's an avatum, and that's a chiyuv, and it's included in shiluah min amach. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that even though it's a chiyuv min haTorah to get rid of the sheretz immediately, but in the overall scale, when we weigh the two possibilities, we would prefer to suffer and tolerate a little bit of a delay in the Tumah of the Mikdash rather than be metame the Avneit, which is a Kli Kodesh. And what we have is Tumas Kli Kodesh. And it's interesting. The Rosh Hash points out that for some reason, the way Rashi presents the sugya, that we're trying to, according to Rabbi Yehuda, to minimize Tumas Kli Kodesh, not to be metame the Avneit. He doesn't mention anything about the fact that the Kli Kodesh now became Tumah in the Migdash. And we say that the Migdash doesn't tolerate Tumah, whether it be Tumas Adam or Tumas Kelim. So that's a question that has to be analyzed. In any event, that's the Shita of Yehuda. We cannot tolerate being Metamid of Nath, and therefore we're going to delay the Tumah in the Migdash, even though the Tumah Sheretz is included in the Iser of Lo Yitamu es Machanehem. That's according to Rabbi Yehuda. Now, we talk about Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. Says the Gemara, Umar Savar, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Fushe Tuma Odif. I would rather be Mefish Tuma, I'd rather expand Tuma, means even to be Metamidi Avneit, rather than tolerate the Shehia of the Sheretz in the Migdash. So at this point, we don't find a source in Tanoim for Shmuel to support Shmuel. Elo Kahani Tanoim. Maybe the machlokas in the Sefer of our Mishnah about which part of the Beis HaMikdash could not tolerate the Tumah Sheretz, that's going to be the machlokas between Shmuel, where the Sheretz is included in the Iser of Tumas Machna. Disnan, Mehecha Motzino, so from which area are we going to override the Iser of Muktzah in order to get rid of the Sheretz on Shabbos? From the Hechal, from the Ulam, from Bein Ulam Luzbeach, that's Rav Shimon ben Anas. And Rabbi Akiva holds, Kol Mokum Shechai Vals Donu Kores, Val Shigosu Chatos, even the Azora, my Lab HaKom Mifli, what lies at the heart of this machlokes? Demandi Omar, according to Rav Shimon Nanas, who holds that me Kol HaZora Lo. In other words, Rav Shimon Nanas is only interested in the Hechal and Bein Ulam Lemizbeach, but he's not concerned about the Azora, because Savar HaMachna Sheretz L'Migdash Potter. So as far as Torah law is concerned, there's no Shiluach Min HaMigdash in the case of a Sheretz, like Shmuel. And therefore, we're not going to override the Isur Muktzah. Again, we will override the Isur Muktzah for that area called Bein Ulam Lemizbeach, even though that's not technically part of the Heichal, but it's already covered as Shechina. So there we cannot tolerate the Sheretz because of Kavod HaShechina. But that's not the Doraisa Halacha of Shiluach Min HaMikdash. Uman Deomer Likul HaZor, but Rabbi Kiva says that even anywhere in the Azor, we got to get rid of it and violate the Yisur Muktzah, because Sovar Chai V'Yolt, that a Sheretz in the Migdash is Min HaTorah included on the Shiluach. We got to get it out of the Migdash. And therefore, even on Shabbos, we will override the Iser Muktzah because of the Chiyuv that we have to get rid of Tumah, to get rid of the Sheretz from the Migdash. And here we turn to Daf Kuf Hei Omer Aleph. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan now rejects this. And he says, you know what? Even Rabbi Shimon ben Anas, and for that matter Rabbi Akiva goes without saying, they both agree that we got to get rid of the Sheretz, and a person brings the Sheretz into the Migdash, he's chayev against Shmuel. Oh, what is the machlokes? The machlokes is, what is the level of chiyuv to get rid of the Sheretz with regard to the Azorah? And would the pressing need to get the Sheretz out of the Azorah, Ezra's Kohen of Ezra's Yisrael, would it override the Isur Mukta? So now we're talking about Min HaMizbech Ulechut, not from the Ulam up to the Mizbech, but Min HaMizbech and going away from the Kodesh. Ushneim Mikra Echad Darshu, and both of them derived it from a Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim, and the question is how to analyze and understand that Pasuk. Just a little bit of background for this Pasuk in Divrei Hayomim. There was a very bad king in Israel by the name of Achaz, and he brought what's called Shikutzei and Gilulei Avodah Zarah to the Migdash, and later on when Chizkiyahu HaMelech became the king, and he was a tremendous pious person, a Baal Tshuva of sorts, and he wanted to clean out all this Avodah Zarah, all this Tumah from the Migdash. So there's a whole process. There was such a massive amount of Avodah Zarah that his father Achaz had brought into the Migdash to get rid of. They needed a whole team of people to clear out the Avodah Zarah from the Migdash. And the Pasuk testifies, Vayavo Akonim Lifnima Beis Hashem Litayr. So the Kohanim go inside to the Kodesh itself, the real Makoi Kodesh, in order to remove the Tumah. Vayotziu es kol ha-tumah. They removed all the Avodah Zarah and all the Tikrovos Avodah Zarah. Shamotzu beheichal Hashem lachatzar beis Hashem. So they took out all the Tumah of Avodah Zarah from the Heichal out to the Azorah. And what happened when they got to the Azorah? The Pasuk testifies, Vayikablu ha-Levim. At that point, the Levim, who were standing in the Azorah, they took, it was like passing the baton. And the Kohanim took the Avodah Zarah, and when they got to the Ezras Yisrael, the Ezras Kohanim, they passed it on to the Levim. Lahotzio lenachal kidron achutza, and they got rid of it all the way out of Yerushalayim to a place called Nachal Kidron. Anyway, we see that many people were involved in clearing out the Avodah Zarah, the Tumah, from the Heichal and from the Azorah, but they split it into two. The Kohanim took it out of the Heichal into the Azorah, the Levim took it out from the Azorah all the way to Nachal Kidron. In any event, we see clearly that they were makpidafka in the Heichal to take it out from the Heichal to the Azorah al Yidei Kohanim. The reason for that is because the Levim are not allowed to go into the Heichal. But as far as the Azorah is concerned, the Levim are allowed to go into the Azorah to take out the Avodah Zarah. And the Kohanim are not going to help them at all. And the reason for that is because, according to Rav Shim ben Anas, Mar Sovar, Mida Ishtani Ba'azorah B'Levim, is Tuma B'Azorah Leka. From the very fact that we said, once the Avodah Zarah was taken out of the Heichal into the Azorah, at that point, the Kohanim have to stop. And the reason is because the level of obligation, of responsibility to get rid of the Avodah Zarah from the Azorah is not the same as it is with regard to the Heichal. And therefore, we're not going to override the Iser of Tumas Kohanim. In other words, to be Metami the Kohanim in order to take the Avodah Zarah out of the Azorah, that far we're not going to do. Umar Sov Rabbi Ki says, no, there's no difference between the Heichal and the Azorah. In both cases, we got to get rid of the Tumah, and it's just as severe, and it's immediate and urgent, and the Kohen is allowed to be Metame. Ah, you'll ask me, so why did the Levium carry it out once the Kohen reached the Azorah? And the answer is, Ad Heichal de lo Efshab Levium, Mafki Kohenim. Hashta the Efshab Levium, Sulo Metame Kohenim. A Levi is not enjoined from becoming Tame. A Kohen is not allowed to be Metame himself. So when we're in the Lifnim, where the Levim are not allowed to enter, we're inside the Heichal, then we have no choice, but the Kohen will have to be Metame themselves. Once we get to the Azorah, and the Levim are allowed to enter into the Azorah, then we'd much rather prefer that the Levim carry the Tumah out than the Kohen. Why unnecessarily be Metami the Kohanim when we could do fine with the Levim? So in any event, Rabbi Yochanan is telling us that in truth, both Rabbi Shimon ben Anas and Rabbi Akiva both agree that if you bring a sheretz into the Mikdash, you're chayav. The question only is, in terms of levels of Kedusha, to override, in this case, Tumas Kohanim, is there a difference between the Heichal and the Azara? According to Rav Shimon ben Anas, there is. Hence, the Kohanim would not be metame themselves to get rid of the Tuma from the Azara, only from the Heichal. And according to Rabbi Akiva, no. We would make no differentiation whatsoever between the Heichal and the Azara. The only difference is whether the Levim are allowed to go in there. And if the Levim are allowed to go into the Azara, there's no need to have the Kohanim be metame themselves when you can get away with the Levim. Again, that's not a possibility with regard to the Heichal, because the Levim are not allowed to enter into the Heichal. Tana Rabbanan. Now, at this point, the Gemara goes a little bit off the same path that we've been dealing with, and the Gemara wants to know, under certain circumstances, we can allow going into the Migdash when technically it would be prohibited, but we're going to allow it for the sake of building or fixing the Beis HaMikdash, or for that matter, to get rid of Tumah from the Beis HaMikdash. And now the Gemara is going to analyze, you know, if you have different choices of who has to go in order to fix the Migdash or get rid of the tomb for the Migdash, is there some sort of a triage, you know, a set of priorities as to who should be the one to go first? Tana Rabbanan, kol nichnasim beheichal. The truth is that we're not going to differentiate between Kohanim, Yisraelim, Levim, Yisraelim, in order to go into the Heichal livnos ulesakin, whether it means to build the Heichal or to be vesakin the Heichal, or for that matter, lahotzias hatum. So again, if there are no other options, there's a carte blanche heter for anybody, Kohanim, Levim, Yisraelim. However, the Brisa continues and says that if all things are equal and we have many choices in front of us, then mitzvah b'kohanim. Because the Kohen is allowed to go into the Heichal. So we don't have to add a special heter here and allow Levim or Yisraelim to go in when we have Kohen. So if there are Kohenim available, they'll go in to the Heichal and fix the Heichal. But it ain't some Kohenim. You know, the Kohenim are not proficient at fixing up the Heichal. You need professional workers. Is that Nechnosim Levim? Then the next best thing is, can we find a Levi out there who's an engineer, who's a craftsman, and knows how to fix up the Heichal? In the worst case scenario, Ein Sham Levim is Nichnasim Yisrael. The Gemara now says,
how would they know that there's a Sheretz in the Heichal if there wouldn't be a Kohen to see it? And therefore, why do we have to consider bringing other people in to take out the Sheretz?
I would say the following. It could be that the Kohen was the one who noticed the Sheretz, but he wasn't the one who was able to get rid of the Sheretz. So in that case, we have to figure out who is going to get rid of the Sheretz. But truth be told, Jerry, that it's possible that we can focus our attention on Livnos Ulesaken, and that'll be an easier way of answering your question, because in those cases, we need, as we said before, a professional. Why a Kohen couldn't get rid of the Sheretz, maybe he just wasn't available, he knew that it was the Sheretz there. Maybe he was standing outside the Heichal and he saw the Sheretz from a distance.
Okay.
Now, what's the diuk here that the Gemara wants to be a diuk from the Brisa? V'idi v'idi. In other words, all of the above, whether it's Kohanim, Levim, or Yisraelim, Tahorim in Tmeim Lo. That the Tahorim should be the ones to go in to fix the Migdash. Tmeim are not allowed to go in there, especially into the Heichal. Now again, if there are no Tahorim, then the Tmeim are going to have to go in. We have no choice. But once again, keep in mind that it's clear from the Braisa that when we send in the Kohanim, or if they're no Kohanim Levim, or if they're no Levim Yisrael, that's only because they're all Tahorim. Now you could begin to ask, well, what happens if you have the following choice? You've got a Kohen who could go in, but he's Tame. You have a Yisrael who's not allowed to go in, but he's Tar. And it would seem from the Gemara itself, before we get to Rav Huna, in the name of Kahana next, that it, no matter what, we want the Kohen to go in. If there's a Kohen who could do the job, he should be the first online, even though he's Tomei. And that's what we're going to see from Rav Kahana. Om Rav Huna, Rav Kahana, Misayeh Kohani. He's really going to wave the banner of the Kohanim here. He's going to push for the Kohanim to be the ones who go into the Heichal. The Tani Rav Kahana, Rav Kahana built himself or stood up on the shoulders of a Braisa. The Braisa says, Mitoch Shenemar. Now, we're going to read a Pasuk in Vayikra Chafal. The subject of this Pasuk is what's called a Kohen who's a Baal Mum. And the Pasuk says, Ach El HaParoches Lo Yavo. And the end of the Pasuk is, V'el HaMizbech Lo Yigash Ki Mum Bo. So a Kohen is not allowed to go into the Kodesh, which begins with that area that we described as Bein Ulam LeMizbeach, and inward towards the Heichal, if he's a Baal Mum. Yochal, I might think, Shelo Yu Kohenim Baal Mum Nichnasim Bein Ulam LeMizbeach Lasos Rikue Pachim. Now you have to know something about the Koslim, the walls of the Kodesh Kodashim, on the inside, and this is a Sugya Masech Tishkolim, they had to be coated with gold. And those are called tasim shel zahav. They are sort of plates of gold. So there was gold plated. Now you have a Baal Mum, but he's the expert. And we need to go through the Ulam L'Mizbeach and in to the Kodesh Kodashim itself in order to set up the gold plated walls of the Kodesh Kodashim. Tamalomar Ach, because the Pasuk begins with the word Ach. The word Ach is always a mute. Ach chilek, chilek means to differentiate. And we're going to differentiate between Shalom Litzorach and Litzorach. You know, it's if the Baal Mum is going in for no great reason, it's not kosher liavoda, then that's prohibited. But if it's Litzorach, then we're going to allow the Baal Mum to go in. However, let's say we have other Kohanim who could go in, and they're not Baal Mumim, that's called Mitzvah Tmimim, that ideally we would say to a Tamim, who's not a Baal Mum. But Ein Shom Tmimim Nichnasim Baal Mumim. Then it says, Mitzvah Tahorim, Im Ein Shom Tahorim Nichnasim Tmeim. Now, the whole discussion in this price is about Kohen. If you have a Kohen who's a Tamim, let him go in. You don't have a Kohen who's a Tamim, he's a Baal Mum, we'll send in the Kohanim of Baal Mum to prepare the gold-plated Kodesh Kodash. The same thing with regard to Tahorim. The whole discussion here in this price is about Tahorim. If we have a Kohen Tahor, we'll send him in. If we don't have a Kohen Tahor, we're going to send in a Kohen Tameh. And this price does not whisper a word about Yisraelim. So until this Braisa Rav Kahana, we could have argued, well, look, if you have a choice between a Kohen Tomei and a Yisrael who's Tar, maybe we should weigh in favor of the Yisrael Tar. But the Gemara is Medayik, Rav Kahana is Medayik from this Braisa, either be the Kohenim in Yisraelim lo. Nowhere does this Braisa give you any sort of a clue that a Yisrael could go into the Kodesh Kadoshim, even though the Yisrael is Tar. You know, there should have been some sort of indication in the Braisa that it's not always the Kohanim who go in. And if the Kohen is Tameh, then let's see if we can find the Yisrael's Tar. But there's no mention of that. So the Braisa seems to indicate that a Kohen Baal Mum or a Kohen Tameh would come first in priority over Yisrael, even if the Yisrael was a Tamim, he was not a Baal Mum, and even if the Yisrael was Tar and he wasn't Tameh. And that's Rav Kahana's shtickle Tori. Boilahu, but the Gemara has the following suffix. What happens if you have two Kohanim to choose from? You have a Tameh and a Baal Mum. Which is worse, or which is the better or the lesser of two evils? Ezer men nichnas. Should we send in, and this is our priority, a Baal Mum, because he's Tar? Or should we say, if he's not a Baal Mum, he's a Tamim, even if he's Tameh, he should get first preference? And this is a machlokes amoroi. Rabbi Chiya bar Ashi Omar, in this name of Rav, Tomei Nichnas. Why? Because the Tomei here is a Tomei. He's not a Baal Mum. And in regard to Kodshim, the Torah is actually lenient with regard to tumah. It's paradoxical as that says. Why? Da ishtri bavodas tzibur. Let's say, for example, you have a carbon tzibur, and the tzibur atmeim, or rov tzibur atmeim, we have a principle called tumah hutra b'tzibur. This is a sugi in Masechet Yoma. We don't find that even in a case where we cannot find a kohen b'al mum, you know, we're going to send in a kohen b'al mum, we don't have a heter avoda with regard to a b'al mum. We have a heter avoda with regard to a tameh, and that's called tumah hutra b'tzibur. So at least in the case of a carbon tzibur, we will allow a kohen tameh to do the avoda if the tzibur atmeim. We don't find that in any sort of parallel case in a b'al mum. Rabbi Lozo, I mean, no. The Torah is more makil in a b'al mum. How so? Da ishrei b'achilas kodshim. A b'al mum has the same status as a kohen tamim with regard to kodshim. The Torah never enjoined the b'al mum from eating kodshim. And therefore we see that within the greater context of the Beis HaMikdash, with regard to the Isur of kodshim b'tumah, and kodshim b'tumah is a very severe Isur. We don't find any kula whatsoever about eating kodshim b'tumah. And when it comes to b'al mum, here, ishtri, he's allowed to eat kodshim. And that's even l'chatchila, by the way. Now we go back to the last part of the Mishnah of Rabbi Shimon, and with this we'll make a siyum in Mirtz Hashem on Masecht Erevin. Is Rabbi Shimon Omer, Makom she'itiru l'cha chacham, mishalcha nosnu l'cha. What is this phrase? Mishalcha nosnu l'cha. Rabbi Shimon Heichakai, what sugya is he referring to? So the Gemara answers Hasam Kai. We have to attach this statement in the Mishnah here of Rabbi Shimon to a Mishnah way back on Daf Nun Beis Amid Beis. And now we get into Tchumin. Misha Bava Hichshech Chutz L'Tchum. A person was on the road. He was traveling on Erev Shabbos. And now it became nightfall, and he's outside the Tchum of Shabbos. Is afilu ama achas lo yikones. He wants to go into the city, because as far as the city is concerned, it's all one dalet ama. So once he's inside the city, he can go anywhere from one end of the city to the other. But the trouble is that he has not reached the bounds of the city. He has already walked his full, you know, his full allowance of Alpayim Amo, and he fell a little bit shy, in this case one Amo shy, of the city. So the Tanakama of the Mishnah says that, you know, he just has the ability to go wherever he was. Let's say he was one Amo out of the city when Shabbos entered. That's where he's Kona Shvisa. He was not Kodesh Shvisa in the city, which would allow him to go throughout the entire city, and then another 2,000 Amo north, south, east, or west of the city, of the city's outer boundaries. He was Kodesh Shvisa at point X, which is one Amo outside of the city. Now draw yourself a radius of 2,000 Amo in each direction from that point where he was. That's not a long area compared to having been in the city. If you're in the city, you know, you can go, you know, 100,000 amos if it's a large city, plus the 2,000 amos beyond the city. Rav Shimon Omer, afil chameshisrei amo yikones. Even if he's shy of the city, he's outside the city limits by 15 amos, nevertheless, yikones, he's allowed to enter into the city, and his status, as far as Shvisa is concerned, is the same identical status as the Anshei Ha'ir, those who live in the city. Lefi she'ein amoshachos, Mematzin es hamidos. When they survey the land and they calculate exactly where the Alpayim Amo is, then they always give it an extra buffer zone of 15 amos, mipnei atoim. The reason why they add 15 amos, even though that 15 amos really belongs to the tchum of the city, is because they're always afraid of people making mistakes. And at a certain point they may make a mistake of up to 15 amos. But technically, those 15 amos outside of the city, as it was established by the surveyors, is really part of the city. It's within the bounds of the city. And therefore, b'shas atchak, in the case of a person, shehichshech olav satchum, that it became dark outside, and he desperately needs to get into the Tum Shabbos, then we go back to the Iker Din, and the Iker Din is that within 15 Amma, it's still considered within the bounds of the city. So Rabbi Shimon says that the Ka'amar Tanakama lo yikones, that when the Mishnah says in the name of the Tanakama that he shouldn't go into the city, Amar Rabbi Shimon yikones, Rabbi Shimon says no, he's allowed to go into the city. And now, at the end of Masechta Erevin, the Gemara quotes, the establishes in the Mishnah, I shouldn't say the Gemara, the Mishnah quotes Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon makes a statement. I'm not being Mekel in Hilchas Shabbos. Meikra Adin, you're allowed to enter into the city if you're within 15 Amos of the city. Now, why is it clarified here in this Mishnah? That's because in the previous Mishnah, if you remember, we had a discussion about what's called Nemas Kinar. If a string on the harp was ripped, and there, as we'll see in just a minute, Rabbi Shimon was the Machmir. So Rabbi Shimon wants to tell you that I have a logical reason, I'm being very consistent here, why I'm Machmir in the case of Nemas HaKinar, but I'm Mekil in the case of the 15 Amos of Hichshechol V'Satchum, and there's no contradiction. So the Mishnah continues to say, Shelo Itiru Lecha Ela Mishum Shvus, also a very ambiguous statement. Heichikoi, what is this referring to? Hasamkoi. It's referring to the Mishnah back on Daf Kuf Beis, and the Mishnah there establishes that Nema Sakinor, if it was broken on Shabbos, in the Migdash you're allowed to fix it up, but only according to Rav Shimon with an Aniva. And the Kama Tanakama Koshra, the Tanakama allows you to even tie it in a knot. Why? Because the Tanakama holds that a carbon tamid and all other carbonos of Shabbos, like Musafim, is the avodah, the carbon is Doches Shabbos, and Shir Salavim is an integral part of the avodah HaKarbonos, and it too is Doches Shabbos. And even Machshirei Mitzvah Doches Shabbos. So, for example, tying this string of the harp for the purpose of Shir Salavim, that also overrides the Shabbos. And that means that Ikar Shira Bakli, that although the Levim sung, they would sing their Shira, but they also were accompanied by instrumentals. So there's a vocalist element and an instrumental element. And the instrumentalist element is an integral part of the Shira. That's called Ikar Shira Bakli. It doesn't mean that the Shira, the Kli, is more important than the Shira Bepeh, but it means that it's all one entity. Oh. So therefore, for the sake of fixing up this harp and enabling the Shira Bekli, we will be Docha Shabbos. That's the opinion of the Tanakam. The Amalei Rav Shimon says, no. Onva. We're not going to allow you to tie a knot, only a bow, because a bow is mutar on Shabbos. That's what Rav Shimon means in our Mishnah. He's coming to argue against the Tanakama of our Mishnah. And to establish that Lo Hitiru L'chayel Mishum Shvus, that Kshir itself in the Migdash on Shabbos, which is a violation of a Melacha D'oraisa, Melachas Kosher, that's Asur. He doesn't buy in to the concept of Machshirei Mitzvah Dochim Es HaShabbos. However, he will allow Aniva. And what does it mean, Lo Yitir Lach Ela Mishum Shvus? What do those words actually mean? They were only matter in the Migdash a Shvus. They would not be matter kosher because that's a Melacha D'oraisa. We don't find a heter in the Migdash for violating a Melacha D'oraisa. However, if you have a shvus, then let's differentiate between the following two cases. He says, "Aniva de lo asid de chiyuv chatos." What are we afraid of over here? We're afraid that perhaps if we allow him to do this in the Migdash, he might come to do it in the Medina as well, Well, in the worst case scenario, if he did the aniva in Medina, lo asli dechiv chatas, because Rabbi Shimon holds that aniva is not a melacha of kshira. And therefore, Sharulei Rabbanon are going to allow you to do this in the Mikdash, even though normally we'd be afraid that if we allow you to do this in the Mikdash, you might come to do it in Medina. And therefore, since even if Chas V'Shalom you did the Aniva in the Migdash, in the Medina, you would not be violating Malacha Dorais of Kshira because you're only doing Aniva. That's what we call a shvus b'migdash. In other words, if in the migdash he has to tie a bow in order to fix up the neimashal kinor, Rav Shimon is going to allow that because ain shvus b'migdash. And what that means, it's a shvus that's lo asli dechiv chatos. Meaning if he did that same action in Medina, he would not be violating the biblical malacha of kosher because aniva is not kosher. But kshira, Rabbi Shimon is not going to allow kshira in the case of the name of Shel Kinor, the osi lidei chiv chatos, because if we're going to be lenient in the Beis HaMikdash, he might come to do this in the Medina, and if he does this kshira in the Medina, he's chayv chatos, as if a lo sharu le rabbanon. The rabbanon are not going to be matir, even in the Mikdash, something which, if mistakenly he would do in Medina, he would be violating Malacha Doraisa. So Rav Shimon now can be understood in his totality. He's saying the following. Let me explain the two sugyas, that there's no contradiction in between my kula in the case of Tchum Shabbos and my chumra in the case of Neima Shel Kino. In the case of Mishehich Shechlo, and the Chachamim say that even if he's one arm outside the tchum of the city, he's not allowed to enter into the city. Here, Rabbi Shimon is going to be matir because he holds that there's no Iser here at all. Because in fact, you're not outside the tchum of the city. You're inside the tchum of the city. And we give you that 15 amma of a buffer zone, as we said before. However, in the case where there's a possibility that you might come to violate an Issa Malacha Doraisa, for example, the name of Shalkinar, there Rabbi Shimon is going to be Machmir because we're afraid that Shema Duma Osi Lidei Chiyuv Chatos. Hajon Alecha Motzi Tfilin Uslikale Mesechta Erevin. Take this opportunity to say a Shekoch to everyone.
Shekoch to you.
Yeah. I don't know if we can have a big hoopla here because of the situation of Zoom, but we certainly have a certain great accomplishment and a sense of simcha in the fact that we finished Masechta Erev. It's not a very easy task. He says, K'shem shavodas ha-karbonos karbon tamid em v'musaf mayom dok v'shabes k'mo chen shiris ha-levim Shehi chelik me'avodas hakorbanos doch haShabbos u'ksheras neima sakinor l'tzok shirus alvim doch haShabbos kosav b'tosus arosh shehu rak l'das haomer sheikar shira b'kli avolim ikar shira b'peh ein tikun akli doch haShabbos u'mestapek im hu rak l'fimish esovish shira ma'keves hakorban u'gam l'das haomer she'ein shira ma'keves es hakorban. Now, we mentioned Bal Mum. Let's just say that the Torah says, Vayikruchof Aleph Mum Bo Eslechem Alekov Lo Yigash LaHakriv. So the Pasuk is talking about the Karban Tamid, which is called Lechem. And other Kodshim, Hisravu Mimash Shenemar V'Pasuk Shliachrov Lechem Alekov Mikodesh Kadoshim. And then it says, Lo Yigash Ki Mum Bo. So we're going to darshan from the Pasuk that Lo Yigash Ki Mum Bo refers to Lechem Alokov, and it's come to be marba all kodshim. But as we said before, that's only as far as the avoda is concerned. But with regard to achilas kodshim, then even lechatchila, they're allowed to eat kodshim, and that's explicit in the pasuk of Vayikra Chaf Al Pasuk Chaf Beis.
And as far as a balmum in a carbon sieber is concerned, we have the case of tuma, and there tuma hucha bit sibur, and that's based on the pasuk as karboni lachmi tishmeru lakriv li b'moado, and the chacham darshin and psachim b'moado afilu b'tuma, but that doesn't apply as far as the balmum is concerned. Okay, Mirz Hashem, we start Masechta Psachim tomorrow.